I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa. In the headlines, President Mills begins first phase of regional tours. National House of Chiefs calls for use of decent language in the media. Member of local APRM attributes Africa's slow development to poor governance systems. Deputy Minister of Health challenges Ghanaians to fight tuberculosis. ECOWAS calls on Security Council to take steps to force Gbagbo to cede power. And NATO to take no-fly zone over Libya from the U.S. First, the summary. The news in detail. President John Evans Atanos will today begin a tour of 5 regions to inspect ongoing projects, inaugurate those completed, and also cut the sod for the commencement of new ones under his Better Ghana agenda. He would also use the tour to hold discussions with the regional ministers, metropolitan, municipal, and district chief executives, as well as party officials and supporters. President Mills begins the tour with a 3-day visit to the Upper East region. President Mills will today cut the sod for the rehabilitation of the Bolgatanga Sports Stadium via water treatment plants and Nabrungun Nyagnia Mirigu Road. He will also inaugurate an electrification project at Nakolo and hold a meeting with the Upper East Regional House of Chiefs. The president will also tour Upper West, Northern, Bonahafu and Ashanti regions, which constitute his first phase of regional tours. Meanwhile, President Mills has donated a cow, bags of rice, cooking oil, assorted drinks, and 2,000 Ghana cedis to the Omanhene of the Wasamenfi traditional area, Katapreko Kwame Basanying, towards the celebration of the Krokobumang Akwentukese Festival of the Chiefs and People of the Area. The head of the local government service, Kwesi Opongfosu, who is also a citizen of the area, made the presentation on behalf of President Mills at the palace at Wasekropong in the Wasamenfi East District of the Western Region. It said the government appreciates the contribution of the Western region to national development. President Mills will therefore soon cut the sod for work to begin on the reconstruction of the Takwa-Yamfuri Road to facilitate the easy movement of goods and people, as well as the promotion of commercial activities in the corridor. The Omanhene of the Wasamenfi traditional area, Kasapeko Kwame Basanying, thanked President Mills for the donation. He said his people stand for peace, unity, and development. He will therefore support government to prosecute its Better Ghana agenda. President Mills has acknowledged the democratic credentials of Turkey, promising to create the environment that will produce tangible results of any investment that will mutually benefit the two countries. He was speaking at the castle when the Turkish President Abdullah Gül called on him as part of his 2-day visit to the country. The visit, the first by a sitting Turkish president, is to strengthen cooperation and bilateral relations with Ghana. Pascalina Dadebo reports.
President Mills traced the establishment of diplomatic relations between the two countries, which dates back to 1958. He noted that given changing circumstances, it will be in the interest of Ghana to open an embassy in Ankara to demonstrate the importance Ghana attaches to the relationship. President Mills was grateful for the confidence Turkey has reposed in Ghana, which is evident in the high-level delegation who have shown interest in Ghana's development. He was also grateful for Turkey's assistance in granting scholarships to Ghanaian students to study medicine, computer science, and business administration. On Turkey's yet-to-be-held UN conference for least developed countries, of which Ghana will participate, President Mills hopes it will provide new opportunities for cooperation in trade and industry, energy and agro-processing. Turkey President Abdullah Gül expressed joy at the fruitful deliberations so far, especially views he shared with President Mills regarding recent developments in the world and Africa. He hoped that with the establishment of the legal basis, other agreements will soon be signed. After a closed-door meeting, a number of bilateral agreements were signed between some Ghanaian ministers and their Turkey counterparts. The agreements include air services, health and medical sciences, mutual abolition of visas for holders of diplomatic passports, and the establishment of consultation for political mechanisms between the two countries. For Radio Ghana, Pascaline Adadevu.
The second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Michael Quay, has advocated the practice of having a complete separation of powers between members of Parliament and ministers of state. Professor Quay believes this will enable Parliament to perform its responsibilities better and fully. He was speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News in Accra.
If ministers are separate from Parliament, it allows Parliament to perform its oversight responsibility better. It's not easy to check to be part of the body that checks your own staff. And the best example is that in the United States, sometimes people say that, oh, then people will not be interested in going to Parliament. And that itself shows that we have not got something right. Do we go to Parliament because we want to be ministers? How many members of Parliament have been ministers? Definitely you will get more than 30% of all those who have been in Parliament. So if that is the essence of it, it means that all those who went to Parliament have failed. But of course, they have not. Because Parliament is a very important institution by way of one, lawmaking, and by then two, by way of oversight responsibility.
Do they seek to become ministers or just that they are appointed by the president to be ministers?
Why would people not seek to get that which is regarded as higher?
It is regarded as higher, right?
Yes, that's what we are making it look. And this is how we made it look in Ghana. And in fact, many people say that, oh, let's vote for so-and-so because he is more likely to be appointed a minister. Everybody in Ghana knows this. But that is not what it should be.
The second Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Professor Michael Quay. A political analyst, Ransford Jampo, says the situation whereby the president appoints a minimum of 50% of all his ministers from Parliament has to be amended. This is because it gives too much power to the executive, adding that it brings about dictatorship. He spoke to Abigail Abbey.
The status quo tries to make Parliament subservient to the executive. It reduces them to render them as mere rubber stamps of executive decision, because you would have a situation where parliamentarians are always looking up to the executive for ministerial appointment. And so then it means you may have to always approve or agree or just applaud whatever initiative comes from the executive. And it does not augur well for our democratic practice. It makes the executive too powerful, makes it swollen-headed. I believe if this is allowed to go, if we do not do anything about this, if we do not seize the opportunity to amend the status quo, we may be living in a false paradise, because it does not serve any useful purpose. Because Ghana practiced this kind of a separation in Nkrumah's time. Under 1969, we changed to a diffusion type where you have practiced the parliamentary system. And then in Lehman's time, we had the presidential system. And then under the fourth Republican dispensation, maybe the framers of the constitution felt that we have practiced either of them, so let us go for the new presidential system where you borrowing from the features of the parliamentary and adding to the features of presidential. It is always in the best interest of every nation, every democratic dispensation, for parliament to play its watchdog role over the executive, so that the executive does not degenerate into dictatorship. And so to that extent, I believe that the call or the proposal for that kind of amendment is in the right direction to make parliament assertive.
Political analyst Ransford Jampo. A local council member of the Africa Peer Review Mechanism, Professor Miranda Greenstreet, has attributed the slow and stunted nature of Africa's development to poor governance systems. She said governance on the continent must be improved to make way for enhanced and sustained economic progress and development. Professor Greenstreet made these comments at the launch of the 2011 African Governance Report in Accra. Rosalind Ganyaglu has filed this report.
The African Governance Report, which began in 1999, is the most comprehensive report on governance in Africa. It is compiled by the Economic Commission for Africa, UNDP and CDD Ghana. The report is a biennial publication which assesses and monitors the progress African countries are making on governance, identifies capacity gaps in governance institutions, and makes appropriate policy recommendations aimed at improving governance on the continent. Local Council Member of the African Peer Review Mechanism, Professor Miranda Greenstreet, describes the report as a tool for policy dialogue and an instrument for identifying good materials when completed. She expressed confidence that the report will achieve results for the benefits of Africa. A senior research fellow at CDD, Ambassador Francis Chega, said governance research is an integral part of CDD's agenda. He said the AGR project needs the commitment of all as a debate on election 2012 starts. A research officer at CDD, Edward Ampertu, said the objective of the assessment is in twofold. First is to conduct an assessment of research on elections and the management of diversity in Africa to facilitate the AGR report. It is also to produce the Ghana country report of the third AGR. He said it will be carried out in 45 countries. He expressed regret that the previous reports have been underutilized. A 12-member steering committee was outdoored with Lloyd Amwa, a senior lecturer at the Asashi University, as the chairman.
That was Rosalind Ganyaglo's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. President Mills begins first phase of regional tours. National House of Chiefs calls for use of decent language in the media. Member of local APRM attributes Africa's slow development to poor governance systems. Deputy Minister of Health challenges Ghanaians to fight tuberculosis. ECOWAS calls on Security Council to take steps to force Gbagbo to cede power, and NATO to take no-fly zone over Libya from the U.S. Please stay tuned.
Radio Ghana News, networking the 10 regions of the country. We are total.
Welcome back. The National House of Chiefs has observed with concern what it calls the use of indecent language among the populace in both the print and electronic media in recent times. The House noted that certain statements which are made on the airwaves have the potential to destabilize the country as it prepares for general elections next year. The President of the House, now Professor John Nabila, said this at the first meeting of the House in Kumasi. Thomas Nsueje has filed this report.
The president of the National House of Chiefs, now Professor John Nabila, said Ghanaians have chosen the democratic path with political pluralism as the central pillar and must therefore be accommodating and see themselves as one family and not as enemies irrespective of political interest, religious or ethnic differences. They should therefore try and desist from tendencies that could destabilize the country. Now Professor Nabila said the just-ended Constitution Review Conference discussed extensively the role of traditional institutions in national development. He was happy that the National House of Chiefs directed to regional houses of chiefs and traditional councils to set up mediation committees to handle chieftaincy disputes and other problems has been complied with instead of always resorting to court for settling minor chieftaincy disputes. He disclosed that the final product on the Code of Conduct for Chiefs will soon be put before the National Houses of Chiefs for validation and approval before it is finally published.
That was Thomas Nsueje's report. The Ghana Prison Service is to receive 1 million Ghana cedis from the Ghana Investment Fund for Electronic Communication, GIFIC. The funds will aid the implementation of its strategic plan to improve the comprehensive database of the country's prisoners. The Minister of Communications, Haruna Idrisu, announced this at the commissioning of an ultra-modern ICT center for the Prison Service Training School in Accra. The facility constitutes the first phase of a 3-year prison interconnectivity project embarked on by GIFIC. Well, the Deputy Minister for Health, Robert Joseph Metelunu, has challenged Ghanaians to take the fight against TB to a higher level towards the global elimination of the disease by 2015. He threw the challenge at the national launch of the World TB Day in Sunyai in the Bonafu region. The program's focus was on the move against tuberculosis, transforming the fight towards elimination. The Greater Accra Regional Coordinating Council has asked all metropolitan, municipal and district assemblies to submit an environmental action plan to help improve sanitation. The move is part of efforts to help curb the spread of cholera in the region, which has so far recorded about 3,500 cases. The regional minister, Niamh Ashite, disclosed this at the election of a new presiding member for the Gas South Municipal Assembly at Wager. We bring you a news desk report.
Ismail Aiti, a former mayor of Accra, was elected the new presiding member. He pulled 51 out of the 54 expected votes, representing 85.1% after his only challenger, Robert Ahudagbe, stood down for him. Niamh Ashite commended the assembly for a peaceful election. He urged to maintain a united front to prosecute the tax ahead. Niamh Ashite urged the assemblies to organize regular cleanup exercises to help improve the poor environmental health situation in the region. He asked the various district health management teams to form cholera management committees to help check the spread of the disease. The regional minister urged residents to take their food hot and wash their hands before eating. Niamh Ashite urged the Gas South Municipal Assembly to adopt best practices to enable them to access revenue under the District Development Fund and the FWAT. He cautioned the assembly against the reliance on the District Assembly's common fund, but to endeavor to generate resources internally to help maintain the district. The Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, George Lawson, called for unity within the ranks of the assembly members, saying without a united front, they can achieve very little. He commended the new presiding member on his election and charged him to stay focused to help the municipal chief executive, Alhaji Sharif Dodu, prop the assembly up. The Greater Accra Regional Chairman of the NDC, Adekoka, described the assembly as a baby giant, but said without the requisite cooperation, they can hardly achieve their set objectives.
Now the news desk report. The coordinator of the Ghana Trade and Livelihoods Coalition, GTLC, Ibrahim Akalbila, has underscored the important role that smallholder farmers play in the development of the agricultural sector. He said in its bid to enhance the activities of farmers, the GTLC has changed its focus from advocacy to building the capacity of farmers. He spoke to Augustus Akwe.
We focus on building capacity on issues of policy, just to acquaint small farmers of policy issues and how it actually influences their work, specifically trade and agriculture policies. This year, we're actually doing a reflection of how prepared smallholder farmers have been taking advantage of policy. This is because we believe after a period of advocacy, we think we should focus on enterprise development, at least put more opportunities to smallholder farmers to be able to take advantage of that.
How far have you gone with this project, and what is new about your approach to farmers' issues?
We know that there are a whole lot of policy initiatives coming out from government that has to do with enterprise development, smallholders being in a position to take advantage of training facilities that the Investor Capital Fund, the EDAIF resources, that is the EDIF plus the Investment Fund resources that are going to be in place.
The coordinator, Ghana Trade and Livelihoods Coalition, Ibrahim Akalbila, talking to Augustus Sakwe. The Money Lenders Association has called on the Bank of Ghana to draw up a regulatory framework for activities of microfinance companies. With the Bank of Ghana yet to come out with regulations, the association is in limbo as to who has the legal mandate to issue a license to microfinance companies. At a stakeholders' meeting in Accra, the chairman of the Interim Management Committee of the association, Amos Afo, spoke to Radio Ghana on how the absence of a regulatory framework is impacting the work of the association. On the role of money lenders in ensuring effective disbursement and repayment of loans, the CEO of Maslok, Bertha Ansajan, said the over-politicization of beneficiaries of the scheme, which has created the impression that loans given by the scheme are free, is hampering the repayment of loans. Concerns have been raised about possible health problems associated with the influx of Ivorians and other nationals from Côte d'Ivoire. The concerns were based on the fact that most of them have no permanent place of residence. Others have resorted to defecating at unauthorized places while some are begging. In an interview with Radio Ghana in Takrade, a number of residents expressed worry about the possible outbreak of epidemics like cholera. They appealed to NADMO to come to their aid. The Western Regional Coordinator of NADMO, Jafet Beidou, indicated that under the ECOWAS protocol on the free movement of people, medical screening is not compulsory, and this poses a big challenge to the organization's efforts. He said besides going through immigration and customs procedures, ECOWAS nationals fleeing the violence in Cote d'Ivoire have a 90-day moratorium of free movement. On those loitering, Mr. Beidou said NADMO is working with the International Organization of Migration to transport them to their destinations or refugee camps. Meanwhile, the Ivorian community in Takrade is mobilizing resources to assist their nationals. ECOWAS says the 9,000-strong UN force in Cote d'Ivoire should be given a tougher mandate to help oust Laurent Gbagbo from power. At a summit in Nigeria, they also said the UN Security Council should tighten sanctions on Mr. Gbagbo and his allies. The African Union had given yesterday a deadline for Mr. Gbagbo to step down, but has not said what it will do next. More than 462 people have been killed in violence linked to election disputes in Cote d'Ivoire, and about 500,000 others have been forced from their homes. Meanwhile, some African leaders have questioned why the world's powers have used military force in Libya, but not in Cote d'Ivoire. Equatorial Guinea has offered to give Japan $500,000 in the aftermath of the earthquake and tsunami that hit the country. The gesture, according to a government source, is meant to show solidarity with the people of Japan and to help in their rebuilding efforts as the country tries to shake off the shock of the twin disaster that hit it recently. Tunisia has frozen assets belonging to the family of Libyan leader Colonel Muammar Gaddafi. Western countries, the United Nations and the European Union have already frozen Libyan government and the Gaddafi family assets as part of a package of sanctions imposed after Libya's crackdown on a revolt against Gaddafi's rule. The freezing of assets in Tunisia is likely to have a significant impact because Libya has dozens of investments there, including hotels, a chain of petrol stations, and a stake in an oil terminal. NATO has agreed to take command of enforcing the no-fly zone over Libya from the U.S., but Secretary General Anders Rasmussen made it clear that other aspects of the operation will remain in the hands of the current coalition for now. NATO has been locked in dispute about whether or not to take charge of the mission to enforce a UN resolution. The NATO Secretary General said the handover of the no-fly mission could come as early as this weekend, adding that all NATO members had agreed to the move, including Turkey, which had expressed doubts over strikes on a fellow Muslim country. The resolution authorizes the international community to use all necessary means to protect Libyan civilians, but the phrase has become open to different interpretations. Further discussions are being held about the command of action beyond strictly enforcing the no-fly zone. NATO ambassadors are now said to be discussing a plan which will see NATO in charge of all military aspects of the action against Libya. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and UN Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have welcomed NATO's decision to take command of the no-fly zone operation. Mr. Ban said the UN-mandated military operation is proving effective in protecting civilians, adding that he believes it will prevail over Gaddafi forces. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, networking the 10 regions of the country. We are so proud.
Barbara Yakubu now presents editorials of today's papers.
The Daily Graphic calls on Ghanaian envoys to pursue economic ventures instead of limiting their activities to the promotion of friendly ties with their host countries. To the paper, envoys should explore business and investment opportunities in their countries of accreditation and adhere to issues affecting Ghanaian nationals abroad. The graphic says present-day diplomatic ties go beyond efforts at strengthening friendly relations to the creation of the platform for the exchange of ideas on investment opportunities. The paper commends the President of Turkey, Abdullah Gül, and President Mills for promoting good neighborliness and trade ties. It appeals to the two governments to encourage their businessmen and industrialists to further explore opportunities for investment. The Ghanaian Times commends the government and people of Cuba for contributing to the economic growth of Ghana. The paper says Ghana is benefiting from Cuba in the area of health, Cuba is also extending support and strengthening bilateral relations in other areas such as agriculture, sports and tourism. The Times praises Cuba for demonstrating that it is indeed a true friend. The paper therefore urges the two countries to deepen their bilateral relations for the betterment of their people. And those were editorials of today's papers.
So in the news, the main points again. President Mills has begun 5 regional tours to inspect ongoing projects, cut, sought for new projects to commence, and inaugurate completed ones. The regions are Upper West, Upper East, Northern, Bonahafu, and Ashanti regions. The National House of Chiefs is worried over the use of indecent language in electronic media as the nation prepares for next year's general elections. The president of the House, Nat of Sajen Mabula, made the remark at a meeting of the House in Kumasi. A local council member of the Africa Peer Review Mechanism, Professor Miranda Greenstreet, has attributed the slow and stunted nature of Africa's development to poor governance. She was speaking at the launch of the 2011 African Governance Report in Accra. ECOWAS has called on the Security Council to tighten sanctions on Mr. Gbagbo to cede power to Alassane Ouattara, who is widely reported to have won the November 28 polls. And NATO has agreed to take the no-fly zone over Libya from the U.S. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra. ¶¶